The Holy Gospel according to John, the 6th chapter. Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get even a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, and so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they were satisfied, he told the disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat. And they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The feeding of the 5,000 is such a well-known story. Many of us over the years may have asked ourselves, how did he do that? How did all those people get fed? You might have heard the hypothesis that the families all packed a lunch before coming to see Jesus. And when the time came, they just whipped out their lunch boxes and shared with those who might not have thought ahead. And there was enough for all. Unfortunately, there's no evidence for this explanation. ELCA pastor Frank Honeycutt presents another hypothesis. He told the story in the magazine Living Lutheran about a pastor who asked 400 youth at a gathering to pass around a medium-sized donut. And each of the youth took a teeny, tiny taste. And sure enough, there was enough for everyone to have some. This hypothesis, though, doesn't work either, since the story is not about everyone getting a teeny, tiny taste. It's a story of abundance. So how did all those people get fed? I have no idea. But I do know that focusing on how the miracle occurred should not be our objective today. Maybe the question we should ask is why someone would offer up such a small amount of food to feed such a huge crowd. We love the phrase, "a little bit goes a long way," but this is rather ridiculous. In our Old Testament reading from 2 Kings, there was a war raging between Syria and Israel and a widespread famine. The people were starving. Yet a single man brought his very best 20 barley loaves, gave them to Elijah to help feed 100 people. What difference will 20 loaves make when 100 people are starving? Then there's the crowd of 5,000 men, which after you add in the women and the children, makes maybe 15,000 in all. They have no access to food and they're hungry. One boy offers up his lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Perhaps he approaches one of the disciples and says, "Here, take my lunch. Feed the crowd." But the need is overwhelming. Why did he possibly think that his tiny little contribution would possibly help? Maybe the real question we should ask this morning is whether we are even able to see God's abundance or whether we live in the myth of scarcity. Walter Brueggemann, Old Testament scholar from Columbia Seminary, claims that the Bible starts out with pure abundance, but then things change. From the beginning of Genesis, God creates a world which overflows with abundance. Plants and animals, fish and birds and people. And God the Creator says, "Be fruitful and multiply." And they do. And it's good. No, it's not just good, it's very good. The Psalms, one after another, speak of God's abundance. Our psalm this morning proclaimed, "They ate and were well filled, for he gave them what they craved." God later promises Abraham and Sarah that they will have abundant offspring, as many as the stars in the sky. But Brueggemann argues that despite God's promise of abundance, it's Pharaoh who first fears that there won't be enough food to go around. For the first time in the Bible, someone says God's abundance doesn't seem to be enough. I must control it. Pharaoh has introduced the myth of scarcity. But God's abundant mercy and abundant generosity continues, drowning out the myth of scarcity. In the captivity and slavery of Egypt, the people of Israel continue to multiply. Pharaoh, who still tries to control God's abundance, declares there to be no more male Hebrew babies. But more and more and more and more Israelites are born. Pharaoh finally has enough and he tells Moses and Aaron to take the people and leave. Get out of here. The people are free at last and Moses leads them into the wilderness. And what happens? The people complain. Despite God's promises, the people are fearful that they won't have enough food and water. Again, by God's abundance, manna falls from the sky. Despite God's promise that there will be enough, the people are scared that there won't be enough, and they hoard the manna. Of course, it spoils. In the feeding stories that we read today, the disciples worry again there won't be enough to feed the crowd. Disciple Philip exclaims, "Not even 6 months' wages will be enough to feed all the people. And we have only a little boy's lunch." But God provides abundantly, again, with as much as they wanted, with leftovers. We see it over and over. We hear it over and over. God promises that God will provide not just the minimum, not just a taste, not just enough for us to get by, but God will provide abundantly. Yet our myth of scarcity continues. We too fear we won't have enough, whether it be food, money, love, power. This fear can make us selfish, greedy, mean, prevent us from caring for our neighbors. This fear prevents us from being generous and abundant. We don't trust in God enough to see that if that broken bread is shared, there is enough for all. Living with the myth of scarcity is death. Trusting in God's abundance is life. But it's hard. We can take a closer look at both of the feeding stories today. And in both those stories, we will see two things that are present. First, there is someone who shows generosity. Someone who provides the food, the knowledge, the materials, the money, the love. They offer up what they have. Even if it doesn't seem like much, it's more than enough for God. Second, there's someone with a faithful vision. Someone who trusts and expects the abundant generosity of God. But there's still that realist in us who can't help but wonder if it's really that easy of a two-step process. We pride ourselves in our business sense, our ability to successfully manage a budget. We determine that a program or idea is not financially viable. Let's see, 5 loaves and 2 fishes divided among 15,000 hungry people is 2,142 people per fish or loaf. That's way worse than 1 donut amongst 400 teens. Not possible. But you see, we don't expect a miracle. We don't expect to see God's abundance. We only see the scarcity. When placed in the hands of Jesus, though, little can become much, the few can become many, and the weak can become oh so strong. In 1976, Millard and Linda Fuller of Americus, Georgia, saw the great need for housing for the working poor. To date, Habitat for Humanity has built over 400,000 homes for 2 million people. Civil rights activist Hosea Williams started feeding just a few of the hungry in Atlanta by himself on Thanksgiving over 40 years ago. His organization now serves over 9,000 meals on Thanksgiving Day each and every year. 10 congregations, including Faith Lutheran, came together over 10 years ago to start the Trustville Ecumenical Assistive Ministry, or TEAM. We now feed over 6,500 individuals each year with collections from churches, schools, and the community. Father Maurice Branscombe saw the impact of the recession in 1980 on Birmingham and responded by serving a simple meal of soup to 2 people. One Saturday every month now, Faith Lutheran helps Community Kitchen serve over 95,000 guests per year. Faith Lutheran imagined a preschool to feed the minds of God's littlest children, but also keep the cost low. started in 2006 with 6 children, some yard sale money, $800 in scholarships, and a Thrivent grant. We now will welcome 26 children into this place in the fall, and there's a waiting list. It takes individuals like you and like me who are willing to commit even our limited resources, maybe only a loaf of bread or a fish, maybe one morning a week to make quilts for Lutheran World Relief, maybe one summer Sunday morning to paint a rock or tie a blanket for Clay Elementary, maybe one card, one prayer, one hug, one bar of soap. And it takes trust in God's abundance. It takes a vision and an expectation of what is possible. In God's hands, it is enough.